Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we'll read verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The book of Deuteronomy consists of a series of farewell messages, sermons by Moses. He's 120 years old at the time. These messages took place in the final weeks of his life. They, of course, are addressed to the new generation, a generation that was destined to enter the land of Canaan. Coming to the book of Deuteronomy, the 40 years of wandering are over. A generation has died. And now we see their children at the border of Canaan. But before they can enter, God gives them some instruction through Moses. And the instruction that he gives them is the book of Deuteronomy. That's what's contained in the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy, of course, means second law, not that the book contains new laws, but it's simply a refresher course in the laws that were given at Mount Sinai 40 years prior. So Moses is speaking to those who were raised in and during the wilderness wanderings. He's speaking to those who had been raised by spiritual wanderers. Their parents were spiritual wanderers. He's speaking to those who grew up wandering in the wilderness. Moses is preaching to them to impress God's word upon their hearts, hoping that they would renew their commitment that was made at Sinai, that their parents made at Sinai, and that they would freshly commit themselves to the Lord. So Moses encourages these people. He's exhorting these people who have been raised in a spiritual wilderness, and over he refers to the fact that they were to go in and possess the land that God had promised, the land that God had given them, and they were not to be afraid of the enemy. He speaks very passionately. He is exhorting them to obey God, to reverence God, to love God, to serve God, to cleave the Lord. Throughout the book, he's basically stating the conditions for not only entering Canaan, but for remaining in Canaan and for enjoying the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan, of course, is a picture of the possession of the child of God. It is a picture of God's people enjoying God's best here on earth. It's a picture of a higher plane of spiritual living. It's a picture of the abundant spiritual life, a life of flourishing spiritually, a picture of a victorious life, a picture of a taste of heaven upon the earth. So the instructions of Deuteronomy were given to help this people, this new generation, to help them to move forward into the land of Canaan, to move forward in the direction of the life that the land of Canaan represents. So the book serves as a reminder. It serves as a reminder that victory comes through faith in God and obedience to His Word. So Deuteronomy lays the foundation to possessing and to enjoying what God has for us as His people. So we come to the book of Deuteronomy, Again, 40 years. 40 years has passed since Israel's deliverance from Egypt, and now this generation is encamped on the border of Canaan. They are in a place that should have taken them 11 days to get to. We see that in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 2, but we, of course, it took them 40 years. Should have taken 11 days, took 40 years. The reason that it took 40 years was unbelief. This is stated in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through verse 19, that because of their unbelief, they could not enter the land. So unbelief, lack of faith, is a very great problem with serious consequences. It costs these people 40 years of their life. And then we are warned, of course, in Hebrews 4, verse 1 and verse 11, that we could face a similar fate if we follow their unbelief. So, in our text, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, is a part of one of the messages of Moses. And this particular message began back in chapter 29, verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them. And it continues through the end of chapter 30, verse 20 of chapter 30. We just want to concern ourselves with what is said here in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. Again, we've already said that Moses, in his messages to the people, is encouraging them to faith and obedience. He constantly reminds them of the former generation, of their unbelief and their rebellion against God, and he's encouraging them to believe. He's encouraging them to obey. And here in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, both are addressed, faith and obedience. We want to center the thought of the message upon two phrases: the secret things and things which are revealed. And that's the subject of the message: secret things, revealed things. Secret things, revealed things. Those two phrases contain two realities of life. It is a reality. There are secret things. That is, there are hidden things, unveiled things, unrevealed things. And it's also a reality that there are things which are revealed. So in those two statements, we have two realities concerning life. We also have two important principles of life. That is, there are secret things, and there are things which are revealed. Now, the realization and the acceptance of these two realities, of these two principles, will help us in life. And they will help us get to the land of Canaan. They will help us to stay and to enjoy the land of Canaan. These words, the secret things and the things which are revealed, provide an anchorage for faith. We live, of course, in the midst of perplexities and problems and difficulties. These things constantly confront the child of God. But in these two phrases, the secret things and things which are revealed, we can anchor our faith upon those two things. Again, these words, the secret things, the things which are revealed, they're opposite. They're opposite of each other, but they represent two dimensions of faith. Faith stands on what God has revealed. Our faith stands on what God has revealed to us. But there's another dimension of faith. Faith also stands upon what God has hidden from us. Again, in this message, we want to center our thoughts upon these two things: secret things, revealed things. And we pray that God would help us concerning these two things, and that God would strengthen our faith in the revealed things, but also that God would strengthen our faith in the hidden things. We'll approach them in the reverse order that they appear. Secret things appear first in verse 29. We'll consider revealed things first and then move on to secret things. Those things which are revealed belong unto us. That is, they are for our use. They are for our instruction. What for? Why does God reveal certain things about Himself, about truth? Why does He do that? What for? What's the purpose? To bring us into contact with God, to provide us something to anchor our faith in, so to strengthen our faith. And He also does it for the good and benefit of our offspring. The secret things belong, or those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. That is, so it is for our benefit. It is also for the benefit of our children. And it is also to promote obedience. That the revealed things belong unto us, that we may do all the words of this law. So God reveals things to us so that we can obey Him. So the revealed things are given to us so that we can follow what is revealed. God doesn't just reveal something to you for you to ignore it. He reveals everything He reveals to us, we are to follow. And we are responsible to follow. Everything He reveals to us, we can stand there. We can stand firm upon what is revealed. We don't need anything else. We can stand firm. We can anchor our faith in what God has revealed. So, to reveal is to unveil. It is to make visible. It is to make known. Now, the Bible speaks of God revealing to His people. We'll look at several verses. Notice in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, and verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. Everything's a secret unless God reveals it. He revealeth the deep and secret things. The reason He can do this is because He knoweth. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him, implying that He knows all the deep and secret things. And He reveals some of those things to us. Notice in the book of Amos, chapter 3. So we see that God reveals, Daniel 2, verse 22. In Amos, chapter 3, in verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret. Now, once a secret is revealed, it's no longer a secret. He revealeth His secret unto his servants, the prophets. So one way God makes known his secrets, one way God reveals is through the prophets or through preaching. Notice in John chapter 15, John chapter 15 and verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So Jesus Christ reveals. God reveals. God reveals through his prophets. God reveals through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and verse 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, the unveiling of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It's no longer a mystery. It's talking about the gospel. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. The reason for the obedience of faith. He makes these things known so that we have somewhere to anchor our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and verse 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But read verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit made them known unto us. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. And the Holy Spirit reveals these things. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Once again, once the mystery is made known, it's no longer a mystery. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Then notice in chapter 3, verses 2 through verse 5. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. And how this takes place is by the Spirit. And then in Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom, the saints, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The mystery is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. From these verses, we see that revelation is knowledge. We also see that God is the revealer. God is the revealer, and outside of His revelation, all remains a mystery. All remains a mystery outside of the revelation of God. Apart from God's revelation, everything about God is secret. Were it not for God's revelation, we would know nothing about God. Nothing. So, apart from God's revelation, everything about Him is secret. Someone might ask, well, why is that? It is because He is so highly exalted above us that we cannot know unless He reveals. Notice in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Speaking of His exaltation above us. Verse 8 and verse 9, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." In other words, you cannot figure out God. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And you cannot know the thoughts of God, and you will not know God's ways unless He reveals them. And He does. He reveals His thoughts. He reveals His ways. So without divine revelation, God is unknowable. How sad if we could not know God. How sad that would be if there was no way that we could know God. But we can know God. And it comes through revelation. Now, without this revelation, everything about Him is secret. That's true of His existence. That's true of His attributes. That's true of His laws. That's true of His purposes. The Bible teaches us in several places that God reveals Himself in creation. In fact, creation alone leaves man without any excuse. So God reveals Himself in creation. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 97, verse 6. Acts 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. All of these verses declare the same truth, that God reveals Himself through creation. God also reveals Himself through the preservation and the government of His creation. God preserves His creation. In so doing, He reveals Himself. God governs His creation. Sun rises, sun sets. Seasons come, seasons go. God governs His creation. All of that is, again, a revelation of Himself. God reveals Himself in His providence. By providence, we simply mean God working His purposes and plan. You see, God does have a purpose. God does have a plan. Now, it doesn't make any sense to have a purpose and a plan and never work your purpose or plan. God has a purpose, God has a plan, and God works His purpose, and God works His plan. He worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And the providence of God is a revelation of the Lord. God, of course, reveals Himself in His Word. We read in Psalm 19 and verse 8, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." That's revelation. God reveals Himself in His Word. He reveals His ways in His Word. He reveals His purpose in His Word. He reveals His laws in His Word. Psalm 119 verse 130, "The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." In other words, there is revelation in the Word of God. We've already seen, but God reveals Himself in Jesus Christ. God reveals Himself by the Holy Spirit. Notice in John chapter 16, verses 13 through verse 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's revelation. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you, that's revelation, he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Three times he says that the Spirit of God will show it unto you. We need to understand that truth. The only reason we know any truth is because the Spirit of God showed it unto us. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has everything to do with the revealing power of God. And if God is going to show it unto someone else, it is not your intellect that will prove it. It is not your wisdom that will show it to them. It is the Spirit of God. Plain and simple. Very simple. We need to understand that truth. But oh, what a blessing. What a blessing to have revealed unto us God. Again, the lost man can go out tonight, look up in the sky, God is revealed, and he's inexcusable. Man ignores the revelation of God. But what a blessing when God makes a special revelation to us of himself, of his truth, of his ways. Notice in, well, we don't have time, but read Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. He spoke unto parables unto those who did not have revealed to them truth. And blessed are your eyes that you have seen truth. That shows again the blessing of revelation. Psalm 103, verse 7, and we need to, what a blessing it is to experience this. He made known his ways unto Moses. What a blessing when God makes known his ways and his acts unto the children of Israel. So the things which are revealed belong unto us. They're for our benefit. They're to strengthen our faith. We can find anchorage in the things which are revealed. You take all the truths concerning God, concerning his ways. You take all the truths that God has shown you, and you are to place your faith in those truths. It gives you a place to anchor faith. And when we, faith in the things which are revealed brings assurance. Brings assurance. It brings comfort. It brings strength. It brings courage. It brings peace. It provides instruction and guidance. So there are the things which are revealed. But that brings us to the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. I go to this phrase often. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. I remind people of that phrase often. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Think of secret. That which is secret is confidential. That which is secret is private. It is undisclosed. It is hidden. You mean God hides things? Yes, he does. His secret things are hidden things. They are concealed things. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There are things and there are matters that God keeps confidential. He reveals to no one. There are things and matters that God keeps private. Doesn't reveal them to anyone. There are things and matters that God does not disclose. There are things and matters that God hides, and that God conceals. Consider the person of God. God has revealed some things about His person. But there are more secret things about the person of God than revealed things. When you start to think of the greatness of God, and you start to think about how little we really know of God, are there not more secret things about God than revealed things about God? Concerning God's plan, God's purposes, there are more secret things concerning those things than revealed things. We know so very little about the purpose of God. Concerning His ways, His acts, the truths of God, there are more things secret concerning these things than revealed. For an individual to say, I've studied such and such a doctrine and I know it backwards and forward, you're a fool. You don't know any truth backwards and forward. None of us do. There are more secret things about any truth that has been revealed than what has been revealed. And what that does, what that tells us, it shows us the greatness of God's truths. For someone to say, I understand everything there's to understand about election. No, you don't. It's not possible. I understand everything there is to understand about the humanity and the deity of Christ. No, you don't. You understand, maybe, what God has revealed, but there are a lot of things God has not revealed. The secret things belong unto God. We're thankful for all of God's revelations. And every time we read the Word of God, we ought to pray, God, reveal truth. Reveal Yourself. And we ought to be thankful for all of the revelations of God. But be sure of this. Behind all the revelations of God are secret things that you'll never know. Secret things. All revealed, what this tells us is that all revealed things have a point of limitation. God shows you something up to a certain point, and that's as far as it's going. That's it. People ask, well, why did that happen? And some people pretend to know the answer to all those things. No one knows. And you want to know why? Because the secret things belong unto God. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Why is a child born with its organs outside of its body? Well, it's because of sin of the parents. Well, there's an example of that in the blind man. Who did sin that this man is blind? And the Lord said, no one did. The blindness wasn't caused by sin. So that's a very simplistic answer. And just because someone throws that answer out there, well, it's obvious because there was sin in the parents' life. Well, that doesn't answer the question. No one has the answer to that question. And we don't need the answer to that question. Why? Because the secret things belong unto the Lord. He knows, and He has chosen to conceal it, not to reveal it to us. So all revealed things have a point of limitation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, and this is always true, for now we see through a glass darkly. Now we see through a glass darkly. And then he went on to say in the same verse, and now I know in part. whatever has been revealed, we see it darkly. Whatever has been revealed, we only know in part. This is always true. Again, we said earlier that the secret things and those things which are revealed unto us are two opposites. And that is true. But they are also very closely united. Every revealed thing is united to some secret thing. Everything God reveals has secrets behind it. Again, those two statements, the secret things, those things which are revealed, both provide anchorages of faith. And both speak of two dimensions of faith. Living by faith, we are persuaded of the reality of what is revealed. Someone says, prove to me creation that God created. Prove it. Well, you can't. You can't. You can't. Or prove to me God. Prove to me God. You can't. It's a matter of faith. God has revealed Himself and we believe. Faith is being persuaded of the reality of what is revealed. And that is why the Scriptures are more to us than just religious writings. Amen. They're the Word of God. Because God has revealed it. And faith is persuaded in what God has revealed. And usually, this is where the emphasis is placed concerning faith. We believe what is revealed. But there is another dimension of living by faith. And this is more difficult. And that is accepting the limits of revelation and being persuaded of what God has kept secret. We're persuaded of those things also. Now again, our text declares that the secret things, the things unknown to you and I, belong to the Lord our God. Man by nature has a natural curiosity concerning secret things. You get two people back there whispering. Everybody's intrigued. What are they whispering about? We have a natural curiosity for secret things. By nature, we want to know the secret things. That's why it perks people's interest. Can I tell you a secret? Well, you sure can. We like to hear secret things. We have a curiosity. By nature, we want to know the secret things. And by nature, we find it very frustrating not to know the secret things. Man, by nature, would rather inquire about the secret things than act upon the revealed things. That's our nature. Well, yeah, I see that, but what about this? Something that God has never revealed. But that's where our curiosity goes. The revealed things belong unto us. We're to act upon those things. But the secret things belong unto God. Well, I've got to know. It drives me crazy if I don't know. Well, it might. But you don't have to know. So, man by nature thinks that there is more benefit in the secret things than the revealed things. Again, all the revealed things were once secret things. But notice that our text does not say the secret things are there to frustrate you. The secret things are there to lead you to despair. No, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. And you think about those words, the Lord our God. In the book of Deuteronomy alone, God is presented as eternal, as faithful, as glorious, as just, as loving, as merciful, as powerful, as righteous, as true, as unequaled, and as all-wise. So it seems to me that we can rejoice that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. We can place our faith in this. And we can be sure that because, even though it's secret to us, and though the mystery may baffle you and I, it's no mystery to Him. It's no mystery to God. There are no mysteries to God. Why is it that, again, we have a natural curiosity and people are always saying things like, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask such and such. It's just killing them to know. And when they get to heaven, it won't matter. It's not going to matter. But it's just killing them to know. Do you realize that what God has revealed to us will keep us busy the rest of our lives? And those things belong unto us. And that's what we need to concentrate on. So it's fundamental to faith. The secret things belong unto God. Why did so-and-so die at a young age? The simple answer, of course, is we all have a limited time. Well, that's a simple answer. But the why, God knows. And the secret things belong unto Him. Why did such and such happen? The secret things belong unto the Lord. What we have to be careful of, and this has happened, and I'm not going to get off on this, but this has happened when it comes to the death of an infant. The secret things belong unto God. Leave it there. Don't invent a blasphemous doctrine so you have an answer. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Where better to leave it than in His hands? That's faith. It takes faith. It takes faith to act upon the revealed things. And it takes faith to leave the secret things unto the Lord. Leave them there. But view the secret things. And there's more secret things than revealed things. View all the secret things through the lens of the Lord our God. The secret things belong unto Him. So whatever is hidden, whatever He has not disclosed, they are in His hands. They are under His authority. That's a good place to leave them. You can trust Him. The secret things belong unto the Lord. You can fasten unto that for the rest of your life. The secret things belong unto God. We know and are assured by faith that whatever is hidden, whatever remains a secret, none of it is contrary to Him. None of it. Whatever is hidden is consistent with what is revealed. Whatever is hidden about God is consistent with what God has revealed to us about Himself. So we can trust that. We don't know a lot of things. But we know this. Whatever it is we don't know, it's consistent with what He's already revealed. It's not contrary. It's not contrary to what He's revealed. The secret things belong in the Lord our God. Trust Him. Trust Him with the unknown. Well, why did such and such happen, and why did it happen at this time? If you need to know, He'll let you know. And in time, He may let you know. And He may never let you know. Well, I've got to know. No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to concentrate on the revealed things, and you need to trust Him for the unknown. So concerning the unknown, occupy yourself with Him. The secret things belong unto Him. We're to occupy ourselves with Him. We don't have to occupy ourselves upon the secret things, go to bed at night and wonder why. Again, that's our nature. A little child. One of their favorite words is why. They'll ask that 1,000 times in a day. It's because they're curious. Secret things drive you nuts. And it carries over into adulthood. But we need to trust Him with the secret things. Concerning the unknown, lean upon Him. Cleave to Him. Cast all upon Him. Concerning the unknown, be persuaded in Him. So the secret things are far more numerous than the things which are revealed. And concerning these things, our faith must be in the Lord our God. We all need a file. And you can label it the Deuteronomy 29:29 file. The secret things belong unto the Lord. And there are things that happen every single day, and you need to just go home and file it under Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord. File it there and leave it with Him, knowing that it is in good hands. They belong unto the Lord our God. This is a large, since there are more secret things than revealed things, we put the emphasis of faith upon the revealed things, but the truth is, we're to have faith in the secret things, and there's more secret things than revealed things. But that's a lot harder. It's a lot harder putting our trust and faith in what is completely unknown. So have a Deuteronomy 29:29 file. Secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Many times people ask, why? Why did that happen? Why was my child born such and such? Why did my child die? Why? That's in the Deuteronomy 29:29 file. The secret things belong unto the Lord. When we get to heaven, I don't believe we'll be asking, Lord, why did this happen? We'll just be rejoicing in everything. Because it's in His hands. And I believe we can do that even now. Those secret things, we can just rejoice because He knows all about them. You know, we use that phrase often. The Lord knows all about it. And He does. He does. Most people that use that phrase, they throw it around pretty freely. Lord knows all about it. But tell them that when they're in a trial, that love will get you knocked out. It doesn't apply to them. It applies to everyone else, but doesn't apply to them. It applies to everything. The Lord knows all about it. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. I'm so glad they do. And I'm so glad there's not a single secret thing that's going to undo God or change one iota who He is. There's not a single secret thing that's going to change anything in this book. When I was in Streamwood, I had a group of men. They read over there, I believe it's Colossians, doesn't matter. The letter to the Laodiceans. We need to find that letter. That could be part of the Word of God and give us a lot of answers. If God wanted the letter of the Laodiceans in the book, He would put it there. And whatever was written in the letter to Laodiceans didn't contradict anything in the book. Concentrate on what's revealed. And they got angry when I said, what you all need to do is just read the book and don't worry about what's not there. Just read it. And that's always true. Concentrate on what's revealed and the one who reveals it to us. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.